And through the weakness of the braces, as the Bible said, it would get weaker, but longer. Now, God knew we all believe in that. All churches, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, all believe in divine healing. Many times it's so hard for them to see the restoration of the gift. They are certainly such a restoration of a teacher, a pastor. And pastors, the same birth as apostles or missionaries, prophets, and you can only accept all times without accepting all times. And if we accept one thing that he did for us, we have to accept all things he did for us. And we cannot deal with anything that's sin brought, but when you deal with sin, you deal with everything that's brought. So we know that I'm being is a God. Now it's all limited to your faith. So it's salvation limited to your faith. We will prove it for our confessions with his back, we will heal. There's nothing. I hope I don't cross up somebody's theology in this. But if the do is crossing up the Bible, it's any other way. No one on the face of the earth has power to do that. It's not given to man, to doctors, or no one else. God is not able to heal. There never was one dose of earth ever healed a person, and no doctor ever intended to be a healer. I was interviewed with Merrill Smith. He said, we don't profess to be healers. We profess to assist nature. God's a healer. Certainly that's God. Why don't you broke your arm, turned in your car, and you say, hey, God, heal my arm. I said, one thing stands in my car. He said, there's something really wrong with you. Well, I've done it. You might touch your arm. That's his duty. That's what he studies. That's what he has. About his thought. They study their makeup, their anatomy. There's only two senses they can work by. What they can see, what they can feel. And nothing can be healed. No. Doctors don't claim that. They can use their sick nature. They can cut out a growth, sew a place up, but they can't heal a place that's cut out. They can pull a tooth and expel it, but they can't heal a spot that's come out. They can't heal a tissue. They can cut an arm, but they can't produce calcium. What it takes to be around, but God to be around. Mr. Iron is a nature of God. So this being only comes from God alone. Now, in the services, there's many of the people who pray for the sick on the field today. Especially the Presbyterians. They've got a woman that goes about having healing something, and she usually lays hands on them and prays for them. In the full gospel length, it's Pentecostal and so forth, Nazarene, Reverend Holiness, many of those, they lay hands on the sick. Laying hands on the sick is a tradition, a true tradition. In the Bible, there was a man by the name of John. And when his little daughter was dying, he said to Jesus, come lay your hands on my daughter and she'll live. But the Roman, when he had his servant dying, he said, I'm not worthy if you didn't come under my roof. Just speak the word, and my servant will live. See the difference? If she had been called laying on her hands, the Roman had been called authority. The Roman said, I'm a centurion. I have no under me. I say to this and do this and you do it. He recognized the supreme authority that Jesus had over sickness and diseases. So he said, anything that was under Jesus, he got a authority to do with it. What he did was just speak the word. And my son will live, or my church. But the Jews said, no, you can't lay hands on my son. And many people lay hands on the sick, which is perfectly all right. We have nothing against it, laying hands on the sick. Now, ministry isn't that, laying hands on the sick. I try not to get the people trying to protect me or me such things, but their faith protects God. That's what brings the result after all. It's whether Oral Roberts says, if you think about the brother, he says, make a point of contact. So that's fine, that's all. God bless you, and works wonders, and you are thankful for it. But the way you do it, right now, that's how many want to be prayed for. Sometimes if it's just a dozen or two, or we can just bring them out and pray for them. But that one too. But when we see 400, we have to give our prayer card to the people. We lined up in numbers so we can come and look at it, not scattering one another, teaching one another, and arguing who's first and who's second. We give a prayer card. We give out every day of prayer for a perfect person, whether you come to a meeting the first night, or the second night, or the third night, we're given every day in each first prayer card. And in there, wherever your field is called from, you might have gotten first, second, middle, and last. These prayer cards were given right at the meeting. They're inexpensive. Anyone who's saying the prayer cards, if you put out a prayer card, they should lose your place. Because you want each individual to bring their own prayer card, you can take them out and give them to someone else and bring them in. See, the person's got to come and hear the instructions himself, and you have to read services and so forth, and receive their own prayer card. Everyone can have one, but no one can exchange a prayer card. And if you want one for someone else, bring the person in, so it's just person wants a prayer card, and whether he's given that or given a prayer card, it'll be helpful. But they can't be exchanged. Now, when you say, if you try to get out, whether it's one person missing for the prayer card today, from all they can get it. Some new person come in, they can receive it. We have to say, Father, tonight we come to do this solemnly as we know how to come, because we have been bidden to come by the Lord Jesus. And we come in His name, because He said, if you'll ask the Father anything in my name, I'll do it. And we're assured that we'll have a talk and we'll do it. If we come and hear Him, and we pray to the Heavenly Father tonight that you'll look down with mercy, not judgment, Lord, but your mercy with Him. Look upon this little group of people gathered out here, this lovely little city of Sunday. I look at what's got here in Scripture. Laying back in chairs and hardly breathing. Men and women, children that are sick and suffering. Maybe many of them have been your fine servants here, the doctors whom you've set in this city and the cities around about to minister to them. And they have come to the end of their knowledge of what to do. They doubt it, they cry, there's nothing else can do them. Father, we pray while we're speaking you forward about this. Give them great strength to help your poor suffering brothers everywhere. Bless the hospital, every doctor's office, for all the urgent needs of the prophets and yours to put some things. Give him words to know what to do, never out of urgency. Then, Father, when it comes to the place where you ask your wish, just being a man as we are here, and we have a right to come to you, the first creator of our bodies. We are your working system. And we are coming, Lord, for freedom through a hopeless of a doctor. And we are asking for divine mercy for them tonight, Father. That you have stretched forth the hand of your holy child, the Lord Jesus, and heal this system. Help us in speaking the word. Bless every church that's represented here, and all these very fine churches we have around the country, very notable, how pretty they are. We're so happy to see the house of God looking that way. And I pray that you bless every pastor. Grant, Lord, that because of this revival, and there's a revival in every church here, we see an old fashioned revival speaks a little footing across the country. Help us not tonight. Circumcise the lips of speech and the hearts of spirit. For we ask it in the name of God, beloved child, the Lord Jesus. Amen. In the blessed old Bible, which the foundations of all Christianity is laid, we're going to read from the book of Hebrews for a few verses. You give me your undivided attention for a few moments. Would I ask you some serious question? And you answer. Here's the servant of Jesus Christ and brother James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, to those in Jesus Christ called. He who is directed goes to the church. Mercy is me unto you and see that you lie to him all the time. Beloved, I gave all the grace to write unto you of a common salvation. It was grateful for me to write unto you and to exalt you that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered into the saints. May I just read those last page of that third verse? That you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered into the saints. May the Lord add his blessings to his word. What a solemn scripture we got here under consideration. No doubt studying in here is chosen in some different phases of faith. Usually an evangelistic prayer of as many to come. And I want to speak to you, my brethren. And first I want to say to you that I represent this church. Your Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Nazarene, Pilgrim, Holiness, whatever you may be, I represent this church. For you preach Christ and you preach the Bible. That's what people need. Today, being an evangelistic missionary, I've seen great strange things. I was in a train a few weeks ago, and found very easy about 17 different religions, and every one of them against Christianity. When you get on the battleground, it doesn't matter what your Methodist, your Baptist, your Church, your being, or what you are. It's getting poor morals away from idols to the living God. But my brethren, perhaps there might be something where he doesn't understand. I wouldn't say you wouldn't believe. No minister that's ever come in contact with Christ would be there and say that he wouldn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The scripture we do this, declaring the Diva, 13:8. Jesus Christ was saying, yes, the Diva going for us. But my brethren, the one thing that you can rest assured of, if Jesus only talked to the cultured and educated American, you got a lot to learn yet when you come to the battle. All our theology and all of our book writings and education will never hold a spell of things. They can produce just as much psychology as we can. You've got to have the gift of what the Bible says, or they won't believe you. And it should be that way. When you come against Mohammedanism, Judaism, you get to all the different kinds of religion. They have Bibles, Quran, and so forth that they read from. They're just as popular as us in their religion as we all are. But they were living in another promise nothing but life after death. But our religion promised the same things that Christ did with you until he came to you. And when they read this, they expect it to be manifested. That's where we say it. We have done everything for what Christ told us to do. We've built churches, seminaries, that never was ever even about as Jesus. Which the gospel was that Christ said to you. The gospel wasn't telling word only, but the power and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. That is because we signed to follow him to believe. I want to ask you something. In the solemn writings of the night, we are constrained or commanded by the apostle or by the writer to earnestly contend for a true faith. Can you hear me on the right side of the island? Don't get good, I just thought you, but can you hear over here pretty good on the left side? Is this better over here? Now, I can hear this better. I'm too close. I'm sorry. We are commanded by the Bible to contend. The only place in the Bible I ever found that we were to contend. We're not supposed to have contentions, but this one place we are commanded to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, if I say to my Methodist brethren, do you contend for baptism? Yes, sir. My Baptist brethren? Yes, sir.
Our Pentecostal brothers?
Yes, sir.
Have you told them the wilderness?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I believe you're right. I truly believe that you do. And all the nations that you've been taught to. But now, in doing so, there's got to be, because there's so many, so much differences among us, there's got to be somebody right and somebody wrong. So, to make this clearly understood, there's only one who has the supreme authority, and that's God, to answer this question. Do you believe that? So the only way that we know what the faith is that we're supposed to contend for, and let me say that there's none of our faith, our Methodist Baptist Church again, Pentecostal, and all denominations was organized this side the days of the early saints. None of our organizations originated in the custom. Luther was a Catholic of the first 360 something years after the death of the last apostle. The Catholic Church was formed. After 1,500 years of our faith, Martin Luther came out. First Reformation. 1,500 years this side of the death of Christ. After that point, Calvin, Swingley, then John Wesley, Calvin, Knox, so forth, Alexander Campbell. And all down to these other days, comes in, Nazarene, Pilgrim, Holiness, and Pentecostal, and so forth on down. Just continually following the same pattern of organization. Everyone. But now, in the conglomeration of 960 some odd different denominational churches, each one saying that they are contending for this faith, the only way to do the question, though, is to go back in the Bible and find out what type of faith they have, and then compare it with what we're taught, and find out whether that would be the faith that we're to contend for, yes or no. That ought to set it. Don't you think so, everywhere? If we can only find out what kind of faith they have, if we can find out they were Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever it is, then we should contend for that. So the only just way to do it is to go back and find out what it was. That gives every man. And every man a chance, and gives God a chance, and gives me a chance tonight to defend what I'm standing for by the Scripture. For I truly believe that any doctrine that's not based upon this Bible is a heretic. It's not right. It must come from this Bible. Not from one scripture, but from every scripture completely to the Bible. Or it's not God. God doesn't make mistakes. He's infinite. And he cannot make mistakes. He's infallible. Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He cannot make mistakes. And he does not have one going one time and shut the contradiction over here. There's no such a place in scripture. Now let's go back to the beginning and find out what kind of faith the saints have. And then compare it with that or what we're taught, then you'll have some general conception. Then we'll read and find out what the faith was, and that faith becomes a living article right here, not in 1956, but this night, this Sunday. Then it becomes the same faith that was back there, living, action, every way like it was then. We are really contending for it, and because the Scripture is there. The first time we were called saints, of course, when the New Testament turns, we'd have to go back to the first of the New Testament. John the Baptist stood between the law and the grace. He was the prophet, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who was the bridge between the law dispensation and the grace dispensation. He was the greatest among the prophets because Jesus said he was, and he never done no miracles. Only the reason he was the greatest, he was given the privilege to intercede the ones that the other prophets had spoken of the Son. That's what made him the greatest. He intercedes to the world the Son of the living God. And the way that he intercedes him is by a sign. Did you ever think of that? John said, I didn't know him, but he in the wilderness told me to go back. I
I said, if all you like to see the Spirit descending in your name, he's the one that is baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. John knew it by truth. No one else seemed to see it. But John saw the Holy Ghost like a dove coming down upon him. A voice saying, this is my beloved Son, and he must. John bears record. Many people have seen sometimes like this angel here on the picture. Seen by millions of people. Some of them say, well, I love my own, it's giving sometimes to certain people. The last thing, you go to the spouse out, not at all, go to the world, you can even get time to the spouse. Nobody else knows nothing about it but the wise man. He just giving for them. When Paul was sitting down, a light gliding, the same light, the same color of eyes, the other two individuals. So it's our Jesus who's standing before us. But the man living, there is nothing. And they were right there, and soldiers living above in the temple, going down. They never heard it. It's just given to some people to see and to hear things. Not all the prophets, not all the apostles, not all the this or that, but it's given. Those things are found in the direction. Gifts and callings are without a reason. How many scripture readers know that? Let's see. Gifts and callings are what you want to be, it's what God makes you. You are because God has chosen you to be. Not because you chose to be, God chose you. And if you're trying to make yourself something that God has chosen to be, you're only a minute. And it'll never be a success. You've got to be what God chose you to be. Now, in the beginning, we found out that God preached and said there's just coming one else in him. And as soon as he comes, he says, he must increase, I must decrease. I must get out of business, and he must take over. A new little weapon was baptized, he went into the wilderness. And the judge of 40 days of fellowship came out. And there was first sign of his ministry of healing the sick. First thing he let this thing begin to spread abroad. And if Jesus was the one who introduced the faith, and he started his ministry with healing the sick, and commanded his apostles, the first commission of other churches, the apostles, was heal the sick, raise the dead, bring the lepers, cast out devils, as soon as you receive, bring it to us. That was the first commission he received when he sent him out. The last commission he ever gave to the sick, the last words that ever fell from the sick, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He was even the last times that he saved. He was through the cost of the dead, and these signs shall follow on the grave. And not only was the cast out devils, speak the new tongues, take up sin and protect everything. They dwell on harmony. With the lay hands on the sick day, God recovered. The last commission given was heal the sick. The first commission given was heal the sick. Now that's by the one who intercedes, the priest can save none other than the Christ himself. Now, let's follow and see what he's doing. Our dear Mr. Trust, be blessed a little bit. Now let's go. Did he claim to be a healer? Be careful. Did he claim to be a healer? No. He claimed not to be a healer. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So if a man today would say he was a healer, he took it more authority than the Son of God would have. So he can't be a healer. If Jesus and God did not look the flesh of his own Son's glory, no flesh can glory in any sight. Neither will he divide his praises and glory with anyone. Praise is to whom he comes from God alone. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwells in me. For then if the Father dwells in him, means the person born, Son of God, none other than God himself, made manifest. And our Christ loved God. He wasn't just a prophet, or a good man, or something like that. He was none other than Jehovah, God himself, manifested in the flesh. The Bible says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That's scripture. Anything less than that, he was a deceiver. He was either God or the biggest deceiver the world ever had. And in this world, when people die for a lie, to be no more than a prophet, I tell you, where is a person
got the message and the world on his shoulders to try to preach the gospel to and try to allow him to help us, he was Emmanuel, the Bible says. God with us. God, Jehovah, loved in his son without reason. We are sons by adoption. Jesus had the spirit of outrageous, we get it by nature. Now, Jesus is like the spirit of God, and Jesus is like the ocean, but all the wild world flowed into him. You and I have the best, because I'm a spoonful out of it. But the same chemical that's in the spoonful, that's in the whole ocean, is in the spoonful. I would like to try to stop it. So, you and I, being the sons and daughters of God, we shall have the same motives and the same things that Jesus did. We should be doing our work, how we fight those. Now, last one, when you return, let's follow him. And you don't have to follow us, just to turn this without a sense down the first chapter. We find his ministry just in its birth. We come down and go into the city, and many things have happened. And that was a fellow by the name of Stephen, or not Stephen, by the name of Philip, pardon. He got saved. And as soon as he got saved, he went and found somebody else who's praying. That's a good sign he got saved. When you go to hunt somebody else, Christianity is not a selfish thing. It's a thing that you want everybody to come join in. Christianity is like a pool of water for everybody to come in. He went and found his friend. If you go there in Holy Land, you mark the place where Jesus was saying a ministry to the sick, and where Philip left him, and went and around 30 miles. Back around the bend of the river, behind the mountain. And he found a fellow over there who was just as orthodox and as one barrel straight as he could be. A real Israelite. Down to the big church. And he found him under a tree praying. And Philip came out of sight and said to Nathanael, his friend, come see who we found. Listen now. We're talking about the faith. Come see who we found, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael, raising up, said to him, could there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? A wicked city. And he gave him the best answer that any man could give. Come and see. That's the best way to find out. Come see for yourself. So come see. They locked arms with each other and went around the building. That evening was left, and he came in, that's where Jesus was praying for the sick. Rough looking young man, he's about like yourself. And when he did, he looked at him, and he said to the whole of Israelites, and in those old eyes, Jesus said to Nathanael, the first time he ever saw him in his life. What? Listen now, behold an Israelite, in whom there is no God. If I spoke to thee, I said, thou art a Christian, an honest man. Now you look at him and say, Rabbi, or teacher, whom did you know me? How did you know anything about me? Well, I said before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. Is that right? What did the church say? They helped all the priests, the scholars. They said, this man is a chief archivist. He's the archivist. The chief of the devil. All fortune telling he's of the devil. We know it. He said, he's the chief archivist. Not spiritual enough to understand that he was. He said, he's the chief archivist of the archivist. What did Jesus say? He said, all man is already forgiven. You speak against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But when the Holy Ghost has come, and does the same thing, to speak the word of his life will never be forgiven, and this will all the world to come. But he's already forgiven, yeah. So I have his blood up and offered that, see. But I forgive you for that, the same thing. But when the Holy Ghost has come, you will never be forgiven. How many of those scriptures say amen? Amen means so good. And when the Holy Ghost has come, you say, well, it's the Holy Ghost, and he's doing the same work. It'll never be forgiven. But when Nathanael said he was standing aside, how could this little cousin be standing here? just a common man,
dressed like ordinary man. He
didn't, wasn't dressed any different than his clothes and clothes. He was a man. He didn't travel unknown language to the people. He spoke plain, everyday common language because the common people heard his language. He wasn't so educated as we can say, translate the Bible in time. He bring it up into another category and he spoke like it is. So we spoke out of the university of New England. Those cockney speaking way down to the school, I don't know if he's talking about. Speaking English.
And I'll see him talking about this.
Well, I know what he was saying. I said, sir, I tried to ask him to go to what I had. He couldn't tell me. He tried to, but I need him in service. No travel anywhere. Well, that's what the cops were doing. Try to bring that round to my old class, class, class. That's where I see Paul, Bruce, Rabbi, Jesus, Hitler, Pope, 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 this man sang like spouse to us and well. He said before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I call you. Now, how's he going to see around behind this mountain, 30 miles, about 15 miles, how's he going to see around behind this mountain, see this mountain, and know that man is going to see when he's standing out there, stay up the platform, speaking to the people all the time. So before Philip called you, I call you. You know what he said to man in there? He said, Rabbi, teacher, thou hast the Son of God, thou hast the King of Israel. Do you recognize the fact that he dwells from the power? Do the Hebrews, the Jews, the work, the honest people, recognize him to be the Son of God because he took us? Now, let's follow the little child. We'll turn around and find out. In his ministry, things would happen. He was standing around with the people, and the Bible says he received their thought. That right? Now you tell me the difference between receiving a thought or reading your mind. You write out the difference made of any type of thing. No difference. But the verbal, the only thing that he can do is mimic what God created. That's the only thing you ever have. He's a mimic. And it's true as well as a mimic bottle, a proposal bottle. The proposal bottle only speaks of a real thing around us. If the proposal bottle, if it's the original, then it's genuine. But if it's real, it is so, it shows that it's real. If there's an old person color somewhere, or speaks of it, or something other, that only speaks of it as genuine. And Holy Spirit, too. If it isn't, that's the genuine. So you pastors here who try to put the divine part out of the Bible in America, you see where you're at in the ministry here? You get it? Oh, well, you're really trying to make the throne, the bubbles, the rock. Even the devil said it. No, it's a real living God. Notice, for time's sake, let's speed up just a little. Let's flatten. Now this real great Hebrew, a man with no God, a real orthodox. He recognized him to be the Son of God because he could see them. The church, people that day, believed that man was the best, so was left the best and better, the best, the only best. And Jesus said, now, because he took it, I forgive you. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll never forgive you. We've seen one day going up to school at the picture. And there was a little woman who had a blood issue for several years. And she said, "Well, I believe that he is just what he claims to be. Now, Dr. Holmes, cut his garment, I believe that I will be well." And the woman pressed through the crowd of all the unbelievers until she got the Lord Jesus up and she cut his garment. He never said it, physically. The Palestinian garment is loose. The woman had a robe on. You never cut, somebody cut your coat. You never know it like that. She touched the garment. he went out in the crowd and stood out in the crowd. Jesus turned and said, "Who touched me?"
Walking by the line,
be full of compassion?
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't you have compassion? You mean to tell me the merciful Christ, the anointed Emmanuel, left among lame, hurt, wounded, and blind, and never healed them? The Bible said he did.
Yes,
I want to let him know. Sometimes you don't know what compassion means, friends. But people have become so transparent. They don't understand heavenly things. We don't. See, compassion is to do the will of God. Not sympathy. There's a lot of difference between sympathy and compassion. Now, lucky, just like love. Love, friends, is just like a boy. We were one. The two Greek words for them is, agape. We love them as filial. The filial love is urgent, like friendship. Agape love is what about? Just listen to this. A filial love is what you have in your life, your children. That's filial. Now, if someone sees trouble in your life, that kind of love will make you change. The man in the trouble in your life. That's filial. But agape love will make you close on to our soul. That's the difference. That's the role of human compassion and godly compassion. Compassion in the realms of spirit means to do the will of him that sent you. Jesus tells you the crowd of all these little blind children, the water, hell, rain, don't drown by. And he passes through here and never healed a one of them. And went over to a man laying on a pallet. You brother, you know what a pallet is. I expect to be the part of the life from him. That is sorcery. But laying on a pallet. Now what? The Lord knew he was there. I got to let you hold that. And he searches through this crowd. So he found, here's a man murdered, and looks at him, that's not him. Here's a man blind, that's not him. Somebody heard, oh, someone help me to people when the angel comes. The angel come on the water and cover the water. God's always had a way of healing to the people. Never left without healing. So the first one stepping in with faith, all the first thing about angel went out and lifted it up, wait for a minute before he come back again. And it was easy. And over time, you come out of the stream, how the water is covered with angels here. Everybody is dressed and dressed and put together. Everything's trying to get in there. The first one is touch the face with the angels. And you know this story. But they're told that this story. But they stop one another even. Trying to make the way to the pool. And Jesus honored those people with faith in him. They wouldn't have been around that if they didn't have faith in him. And he passed through and never touched the one of them and went over to a man laying on a pallet who had some kind of retarded disease, maybe prostate trouble or TB. He had 38 years, he could be tired, that would have hurt him, but couldn't. And Jesus got to where he was and said, poor child, lay hold. Why did you say to the cripple, the blind, the withered, you're down? Get it? I was going to hit this to a climax in a minute. Why? Didn't go to this man, you're not there. Like the disciples in Harrisburg, so how did you go to them? He said, well, a thousand of them said, I have no one cut in the water, so to pick up your bed and go into your house. And he walked right out of that pool, even with all those cold, lame, half blind, withered men. What if he went on his finger was not? You'd have the same kind of criticism you had back there. They criticized him. They found a man with his bed on his shoulder, down in St. John 5, the 19th verse. When Jesus is questioned, what is? Listen. When Jesus is questioned, what did he say? Very clearly, but absolutely, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. So that he sees the Bible doing, that gives the Son of God. How many of you have read that Bible? Let's see your answer. Everybody ever read the Bible. So he can do nothing in himself. He absolutely told us, though, that the Father showed him a thing he first and wants to do, and he went and done just what the Father showed him. But the reason he tells thousands of people has told the Bible that he knew that this man was there and had been in that place a long time. Is that right? Exactly. See, you read all this. Many times in your schools and seminaries, you read all of the principal truths of the Bible. You get one step backwards, and then you hang right the back.
the tree, took you up, and I seized it. So we have our own supper, and he was going to come. We got our own supper, and he'll probably fool every one of us when he comes. He'll come in a way that you're not even thinking of, and it'll be purely scriptural. Now, one more statement before we close. Let's stop back one page by this point I want to get to you. That's the first chapter of St. John. You were turning to it. Jesus was going down to Jericho. How many of you have the Holy Land? Probably, maybe not, eh? But Jerusalem sits on a hill. Jericho sits in the valley. Jerusalem's on the highest city. Jericho is on the lowest city. And to go to you from Jerusalem to Jericho, there's a direct road back down the mountain. But now, Ralph, you have need to go down to Samaria. You hear the eagles? And Samaria is up on the hill this way. Ralph! Ralph, go up that way. You'll be going down this way. Now, Ralph, the scriptures. God didn't do it. The Father has shown you the record. He goes up to the right there by noon. He sets down by Lord. If you go in the old, this Bible becomes a new book to you. Well, we're already accustomed. See, we're Western people. This is an Eastern book. And oh, how it's different. We'll get into it this week between here and Charlotte and some church. He's going to come back to the tent next year, the Lord's willing. We'll have some to him here tonight. Now, in those Orients, if you ever see those customs, bring that book that allows up to you. We Western people, we study from what we call it here, but what it is does is different altogether. But as you set a rock, there's usually a place with some good vines go around it. There was a, like an arch in there. Jesus goes over and steps down and sends his disciples into a city to get some food. And while they were gone, a woman of Samaria come out to get water. Now we know her as a prostitute, still clean. We're not going to that, a woman that was of bad character. And she come out to get water. Now it's about noontime, maybe, because she could come out when the other women were gone. There's a difference in explaining it altogether now. But a woman with a bad character, she couldn't even associate with other women. She can't work in the audience. There's separation. And she'll have to come some other time. Now, if you're out of the verse of sin, about the water of Catherine, she could go out because she had a bad name. And it might have been because she was up all night and just got up. However, she went out there to let down the pot for some water. And when she did, Jesus, all the way through, looking like a man, sitting over there against the wall, he said, bring me a drink. Now, listen closely now. He said, it's not customary to eat these African American stuff. We don't have any dealings with one another. Just like between the colors and whites today, and so forth. The racial problem is that we're segregation. So if we have no such custom, all you things are African American such a thing. He said, but woman, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for drink. And after you're ready, you don't come here to draw. He said, the Lord Jesus ain't got nothing to draw with. How's he getting water? He said, the water I've brought is water in your soul, springing up where it lies in that. He said, well, I've got a worship in this mountain. He said, Jerusalem. The conversation went on at once. God, you'll have to take my road to this guy. Here, this guy. He was contacting your spirit. The Father was coming in, but he didn't know yet what was going to take place. And when he finally contacted the woman's spirit, he went right straight to his brother. He said, trouble with your husband. He said, I don't have any husband. He said, that's right. You got that. Now listen close. He said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now we know who, Samaritan. That's the truth now. It's in the Daniel. She said, we know that when the Messiah comes, do you believe Jesus was the Messiah? Sure, the Son of God. She said, we know. We got a sign we're looking for. When the Messiah comes, he'll do these things. He'll tell us all things. But who are you? Now, if that was a sign of the Messiah, Jesus saying, and if Jesus is not good and is living to go away from the dead, Christians. As you run into a city, it shall come to a man who's telling you things about the open books of the Messiah. That was the sign of the Messiah to the Samaritan. You remember that description? That was the sign of the Messiah to the Jews. Isn't that right? Now there are a few scripture orthodox perspectives. But Nathaniel said, I know who you are. You're the Son of God, the King of Israel. But the Jews said, oh, he is, and he's the Lord. But that was still their son. The Samaritan said the same Bible in the Old Testament. He agrees with the truth of truth. That's what he spoke to. He said, we know that the Messiah is with us, but he must be the prophet. He said, I am the Messiah. Now, just a moment. Do you believe he rose from the dead? Are you worshiping a dead, buried, taken out, or a risen Lord? A risen Lord. Now, right. When he's going away, and St. John, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, he said, we that believe upon me, the works that I do shall he also. No, and what the word greater was, you may take a note, but look at 12th verse.
Thank you.
common and despises the old soldiers because they are not as common and Christians. What do you say? Very high minded, love of the person and love of the God, despises the old soldiers, having a form of godliness, but denying the supernatural power thereof from cut to low. The scriptures are about the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
I couldn't say nothing. He said, first thing I said, he said, oh, well, sir, I tell you, sir, could you go to New Church? He said, yes, sir, sir, yes, sir. Even from a child. He said, you're reserved when I was 16, aren't you? Well, he said, you're another worldly science to follow on with the lead. He said, yes, sir, that's one of them. He said, well, you see, sir, he said, the illiterate type of people, except that, he said that in the seminary, we learned that Mark 16 from the 9th verse on is not in sight. And Mohammed said, what? It's not in sight. So not from the Vatican is somebody, but from the 9th verse on, that was Jesus was going to all preach the gospel, and he would bring his baptized, he'd say he could be about to be dead, and that's all. The Vatican just had these signs of all end of me. Well, he said, what kind of a book are you reading? Oh, it's inspired in the rest of the time. He said, all the Torah is inspired. There you are. Why don't you face the fact? Ministers, find out. Jesus tells. Finally, I say to you, make it come to pass, I'll never stand in somebody else's place. But that's what you bring it to pass. That's one thing, sure. It's the truth. And that's the reason the Christian church is in the defeated state it is tonight. Between him and the world, he's here in a spirit battle instead of being in a corporal battle like we are tonight. Yet a little while the world won't see me anymore, yet he shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And the things that I do shall be to you also, for all the mission you do, for I'll go to the Father. Is that right? In other words, when God's only worked through one individual, that was Christ. Now he's going to come to the Holy Ghost to work universal the world.
Heavenly Father, we're living in a cruel world. tonight that three of them would annihilate the world in 24 hours. Wouldn't even be an insect left. And you said just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the world is annihilated, except with Noah riding over the judgment in the ark. So glad that you have a word of faith today for those who will hear. Now, great statements have been made, Lord, here before 700 people. I pray that you will manifest your trust, Lord, knowing it is just Christ that the man sinners pray for grace. I commit this service and myself to you that you will come, my Lord, and vindicate that I told the truth. I have talked with you, Lord. Now you come to speak, let us sing the truth. Will you, Father, may we find grace with you this night in Christ's name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you for something. If you will, I don't see a cross somewhere, but usually it's an anointing of the Holy Spirit, the seeds of our beloved. Now don't get up and move over. Now if you're foolish, don't stay any longer. For I'm not being responsible for critics. Remember, as Jesus spoke from one to another, we're not the angels. Maybe this week I'll get to you and show you statements, seals, or great people in cities, or some paradigms, or some new thing that's teaching everyone else. Not from the church, no. The same Holy Spirit is back there. The same Holy Spirit is here. Can't you go from one to another? He's up in your reverence. If you think up in the next 15, 20 minutes, it's time to leave now. And while we're singing a song, we call him prayer. Come back tomorrow night, I'll speak tomorrow. Possibly, maybe you'll be able to stay there and listen. Strange, sure, you haven't taught these things. But my dear brother, not one thing about seven hours that I come right out of this Bible of the divine plan. But the same thing to take place. And tomorrow night we'll go right on in and show you how to continue on through the Bible. Live the Lord. Now, all right. Prayer card B has been given out. It's a little bitty card. You haven't got one. It's just a small card. And it's got my picture on one side. On the back, it's got a letter B and a number on it. And who has B number one? Would you raise up your hand, somebody? All right, if you come out there, or if you're somebody, please go over there. And it's somebody else. B number two, would you raise up your hand? Number three. Number three. Look at your neighbor's card. Maybe somebody's there. Somebody sends you a speech. Somebody can't raise up. If they are, well, then that's, we'll help them. Any number three, would you raise your hand, please? Check some of those cards if people can't move or something, maybe, please. Is that three there? Can we have three? Four? Any number four? Would you raise your hand? All right, lady, right here. Number five? Would you raise your hand? If you can't, number five. Number six? Now, if you can't raise your hand, something you just move to somebody by, you'll be up in here. Number six, all right. Number seven? Any number seven? Number eight? Would you raise your hand? Number eight, would you raise? Eight, if you got a first, come out of here, please. Eight, number nine, would you raise your hand? Eight, number nine, would you raise up your hand, please? Number nine, if I miss it, who has number nine? Eight, number nine, already in line. Let us see your hand first, please, before you go for the long drive. Number 10, who has team number 10? Would you raise up your hand? Team number 10, right here, all right, over here. Number 11? Team number 11, would you raise your hand, please? Somebody help me to watch it. Is that the number? Line of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray your blessings upon these people. And now, for your glory, I submit myself unto thee. Knowing, Lord, with all these people being strangers to me, I am not knowing them, but thou dost know them. I pray that you will help them, each one, and grant unto thy servant, thy spirit, and anoint me just now for your glory. In Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. Now, let you know your name. Now, as an engineer will watch this, because I don't know just how loud or how low. Now, thank you, good man, because you see, if the Lord does appear and many visions take place, I get depleted. That's what the boys are telling me, watching. They know just when it's enough. Now, remember, friends, to you people here, you wouldn't understand spiritual things. It's going into another dimension, into another world. Actually, when the spirit begins to anoint down. Now we see that angel on the picture there. It's hanging in Washington, D.C. when the FBI was saying this was the only supernatural thing that ever proved to be taken. You find out. George J. Lacey, the head of the FBI, then, just find out his name and address and so forth. Now, that same angel isn't 5 feet from where I'm standing right now. That's true. Now, it's not me. It's him. There was a pillar of fire who loved the children of Israel. How many Bible students know that? A pillar of fire. Is that right? Who was that pillar of fire? Christ. The angel of the covenant was what? Christ. He was with Moses in the wilderness. Yes. He said, for Abraham knows I am. He was the I am. Now, if he's still the same, he's still here. In the last night, the pillar of fire, I followed him when he was on his road to Damascus. Is that right? He said, I come from God, I go back to God. The world won't see me, but you will see me. Now, I want to talk to you, woman, just to contact your spirit. Now, if the Lord Jesus will do the same miracle here between this woman and I, or if any of you sitting out there, no matter who you are, if you will look this way and believe that I have told you the gospel truth, I'll assure you that the Holy Spirit will speak right back to you. Now, that is a direct challenge, and I'm sure you Christians appreciate as we're spreading Christ where I'm standing and what the strain that it is at this moment. I've either told the truth or told the lie, and God's got to be the one who's indicated. Would you like to come take the place? Put yourself up here now. You have to know. So do you want to which doctors and everything, the other nations. Now just to speak to the lady a moment, just like our Lord Jesus spoke to the woman, he was God. I'm just his servant. But then if he tells you the same thing, will every one of you hear the sick or reading, will you believe he's raised from the dead and you will accept it every day? I see that because, see, it's cutting his word to itself. I can hear, and I have nothing to do with it, but draw her own faith to do the healing if she's sick. It's your faith. But now, as a gift, see, no one can save you if you're lost. Jesus already did that. No one can heal you if you're sick. Jesus already did that. It's your personal faith in the finished work that does the work. But now, the woman standing before me just now, she's aware that something is going on. If the woman can still, she knows that right between her and I stands the angel of the Lord. A woman, if you, the feeling that you have is you never had it before, that's right, raise your hand. See? Sure, here stands right between me and her. I see the woman on the road coming here. She's not from here. You come from the west and north. You come from the state of Ohio here. You got a throat condition. Cancer, death, black, you're shattered to death. That's what's full of the love. You believe now? Now, lady, there's something here to hold you. Come here this moment, I'll pray. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray that in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that you'll bless this woman and heal her, and may the shadow of death be taken from her, and may she live for God's glory. In the name of his Holy Son, Jesus, I ask it. Amen. God bless you, sister. So happy and rejoicing and praising God. Write your testimony for the glory of God. Would you come, lady? Everyone believe. Have faith. Just a moment. Everyone here, welcome to me. Now, lady, you standing here, I have no idea of what you want, why you're here. But God does know, and you're conscious of that. You know? But there's something strange about you. There's a light on you. You have just been healed. You are praying for somebody else. You've been healed in a divine healing service. And you were healed there. And that wasn't here. That was in my meeting at Stormley, Danielle, because I see the same platform. That was at church. That's right. And you knew there was something else. And that was a man. It's natural helpless as well. And he's got cancer. And you hear that. And the handkerchief you're passing in the wind blew it all on you. In the name of the Lord. walking through the door of hope. There was tall green ground. I seen him trying to get out of the door of heaven sideways. He went out of the ladder to a plane and was out of the window. But I don't think so. He just tried to see if he were out of the ladder.
Now, being a stranger to you,
in my life, never knew them. Lord, help me do something supernatural, let me know about it, if there's anything wrong. That's right. Lord, help you determine it to be. We'll determine what blessing you would get from it. If you judge it is justice, then there'd be no blessing for you. There was one time a woman touched his garment. She felt thirsty. But a Roman soldier cut a rag around his head. He spoke to hit him on the head. He said, "You that can see visions and prophesy, tell me you." He never said nothing. He only saw visions of God's visions. And the only way I can see visions is when somebody, it's your own faith in God that holds the vision. Not me, I just commit myself.
Right.
Your name's Elizabeth, isn't it? All right. You believe now? Yes, I just want to do it. That last local great
government. Right. I love you, Father. I bless this man, woman, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and turns out of the day because he did it. This authority she now believes on through the Lord Jesus, and knowing that these souls
will be hands on the 6:30 shall recover, and this I do in obedience to your commandments in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I let this way just come. If he knows who you are, if he turns around all about your life, he surely knows the future, doesn't he? Now look, you're hungry and thirsty for God. Walk with God. And you also are in need of a deep, deep walk with God.
Now, when you go, don't just surrender yourself to Him and do everything you can to glorify Him.
The dark shadow that follows you to the platform has gone from you. Your faith is done. Now go rejoicing. And God be spirit of this human man more.
Let's go with thanks be to God.
If I pass through, all things are.
Why are you studying the chair?
Would you believe it? Would you believe it? Then it has.
Let's say thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Come.
Lady, you got a disease that kills more people than anything else. Heart trouble. But Jesus Christ can heal the heart.
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes, sir, I
know. Father, I intercede for this good dying woman in the name of Jesus Christ that you will heal her and make her well for your glory. Amen. God bless you, sister. So happy, rejoicing, and I'm praising God. Would you come, sir? Well, this is a good thing. But Christ is better for that healing. You believe in your healing of God to make you well? Do you believe it? Oh, God, our Father, I proclaim this to the Lord. Tell him, my brother, and ask that you will heal him in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm so believing now. Go back. Have faith in God. Can you believe? What are you doing to the Lord? Come here, lady. There's just a moment standing there. You believe he could do this, sir? God bless your heart, woman. Thanks for believing. Look at this aged mother. Anyone, lots of special people when you come in the presence of him. Look at that ancient, lovely woman, a Christian, standing there, struggling with eyes around us, weeping in the presence of the Lord Jesus, not because of new eyes, dear prayer. Mother, do you believe you'll let you get well? Do you believe it all your heart? Do you? All right. Then turn and go to your home rejoicing. God bless you. God's man in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in God. Go back. If thou didst believe, what I said? Oh, Father, a glorious time. Living in the presence of a lovely, lovely Jesus Christ. You will come to notice in the world? Going forth, he who has promised in his faith, he's a son of his faith, and he promised that he will ask the Father. Thank you.
trouble back there, and two ladies sitting right back there. Both of you have humor on the breast. Right? Raise your hand. And both of you want the spiritual head. Right? Just let your hands run on each other. Your heavenly Father, Satan is exposed. May you leave that devil to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Go back to your seats now and don't touch me. Let's go close to God. Do you believe, sir? Do you believe you can do this process? This service? I'm a stranger. I never seen you. No, we're strangers, we said. Something strange about you, though. I don't know you. I've never seen you. But you're here from your place, though, with your heart settled. That's right. If you give up smoking, quit smoking, and you serve the Lord's word, and you find it pleasing when you do that, promise to do it, raise your hand, promise to do it. All right, then go. And as the Lord Jesus bless you as you go, and Jesus Christ in it. Only will rejoice in church. Be happy, believe. Does that believe? It must be that time for me to leave. I always catch me by the side, and I know I don't have any confession of time. Once you believe, I say, just listen to me. On Jesus Christ, my brother, have faith and believe. What about these crippling and crippled people out here? Where's your faith? I'm not your hero. I'm your brother. I challenge your faith. I'm not challenging. Because Jesus Christ lives. You sit in the chair with your hand up. You believe? The Bible tells me what you're stuck in this. When you have, you believe? Yes, sir. You're being tested. You have trouble with your bladder. That's right, isn't it? Don't you raise up out of your chairs at home and be well with it.
Truth, ever truth, and now